For all the rednecks in the house, that song would go something like this. It don't get no better than that. Right? Pardon me if I just get caught up in His presence. Because I know this, that there's a God in heaven who didn't have to love me. In fact, there's a God in heaven who, when He looks at me, I still don't know how He does love me. But yet He does. It doesn't get any better than knowing this, that I can approach Him because of what His Son has done for me by shedding His blood. And I can approach God and I don't have to be ashamed and I don't have to worry about what God thinks about me. When God sees me, He thinks, there is my Son who I love. There is my Son who I am pleased with because of what the firstborn Son, Jesus Christ, did to make Him clean. And I'm thankful that when God sees Kirk Hall and when He sees you as other believers, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been given and imputed to us. Amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. Today we're going to continue in our journey through Joshua. We're going to look in chapter 8, the last few verses there, 30 through 35. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to see a revival take place. And I told the men before we got started today that revival is this. And I know what you think if you've been in church for any time. You think revival is a guy who comes with a $3,000 suit and a cool gold watch, and he preaches for a week, and he preaches harder than your normal pastor because your normal pastor is scared to preach to you because he's afraid you might leave. And so this guy comes, and he can hammer you for about a week, and then you know he's going to leave, and the pastor says, well, I can straighten up any messes this guy makes because he only has a few days, and we don't really give him a week. We just give him Sunday night through Wednesday, because if we went a week, then God might really move, and then we'd be in big trouble because God, you know, the Spirit might get out of control. Right? And, you know, unfortunately, us religious people, we like to control the Spirit instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to control us like it should be. So a lot of us think revival is this type of thing. That's why people tell me all the time, you seem more like an evangelist, because the Bible tells the pastors of the churches to do the work of an evangelist. If a pastor is not reaching people for Jesus Christ, let me tell you what, he's not biblically living up to the demands of Scripture on his life. Well, I'm just not real evangelical. Well, then please don't get in the pulpit, sir. Please don't call yourself a pastor. Because we have to preach the Word of God. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you have your Bibles, we're looking in Joshua chapter 8. We're going to see a picture of a revival. We're going to see a revival take place. And a revival takes place not because a cool guy comes to town who can really preach. And you know why these guys can preach so good? They've preached the same sermon 30 times, right? Yeah, every time they come to town, you go, man, he sure seems a lot more polished than our pastor. Your pastor had about 3 days to prepare. This dude's been preparing for 30 years. So the fact of the matter is what happens is you just get pumped up about preaching because he preached good. Or we bring in special music people, right? And they sang better. They're professionals. So understand, that's not what revival really is. Because revival is just when it happens, there's going to be a lasting change. And what revival really is, so that you can hopefully get in on a revival this morning in your heart, how many of you say from time to time in my Christian life, I've needed revival? Man, we've all been there, haven't we? The fact of the matter is this, you know how revival comes? Revival comes when you get in on what God already says you have. You get in on what God already says you have. How many of you have the Holy Spirit living in you? The power of God living inside of you. How many of you have been forgiven for all your sins because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? How many of you have access to joy, peace, and all the goodness that comes with the Spirit? How many of you have that? So you already have these things in Christ. And revival comes when we get in on these things. How many of you understand? God had a covenant with Israel before Israel ever knew. God had a covenant with them. Right? Did you know that you were saved before you ever knew you were saved? Don't let me complicate that and get you all confused, because there's no reason to get confused. I know this. My God is that big. My God is that big that before the foundations of the earth, He saved me. What does that mean? You know, I really can't comprehend it with this little pea brain. Anybody in here who claims to be able to comprehend such magnitude, you're in error. You can't. You can't know that kind of power, but yet we know that God possesses that kind of power. And so as we look at this, understand, we're going to learn a little about revival. And there's going to be a revival that takes place at Mount Ebal. We're going to read about it. It's all going to come from a promise that's already been and some instructions that they already received. And we're going to see they apply those things. So let's look at this, because application's huge, isn't it? If we as a church would apply half of what we know, we'd change the community around us for the glory of God. Now think about that. If you applied half the notes that you have in the margins of your Bible, what would your life look like? So let's look at this and let's learn some application to this. said, then Joshua, verse 30, then Joshua built on Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. As Moses, a servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He did this in Deuteronomy chapter 27. We're going to look over there in a second. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it, they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. They wanted to commune with God. This was about worship. Understand that. How many of you understand? Our life as believers is about worship. It's about praising Him. It's about adoring Him. It's about thanking Him. It's about bowing down and honoring Him and revering Him with every ounce of energy, every cell in our body. There in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on the stones the law of Moses, which he had written. All Israel, aliens and citizens alike, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing those who carried it. The priests who were Levites, half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had formerly commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. Afterward, Joshua read all of the words of the law, the blessings and the curses. Please underline that, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the aliens who lived among them. We're seeing a revival take place here. We're seeing Joshua as the leader of God's people, leading them into revival. And he's going to use some tools to do that. And I want to show you what those tools are. And I want to assure you today that if you apply those tools to your life before we leave here today, you will experience a revival in your heart, a revival in your soul this very morning. We don't have to bring in some fancy preacher and a fancy singing group. We have access to the keys and the ingredients of revival right here. Is everybody following me still? All right, let's look at it. Number one, we see this. He goes back, and we know in Deuteronomy chapter 27, I told you I'd take you there, and if we have time, I will. But in Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses gives instructions about what the people are supposed to do when they go into the promised land. At this point in time, Joshua is fulfilling what Moses said to do. He said, build an altar, build the altar this way. I want you to take these stones. I want you to write on these stones the law that I gave. I want you to then read the entire, that I was given, excuse me, and then I want you to read the entire law, the blessings and the curses. I want you to put half the people on Mount Ebal, half the people on Gerizim, and I want you to show them the ingredients to revival. Because what had just happened up until this point? They were in the desert. They were in the wasteland for a whole generation, weren't they? Let me tell you this. In order for you to really experience what God wants you to experience in your life when you come out of that wasteland, because hopefully last week some of you said, I want out of this wasteland. I want out of this desert. I want my life to be changed. Today I want to give you the ingredients for that. Number one, we see this, verse 30 and 31. Then Joshua built on Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. And on it they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. And let me tell you this, if you're going to see a revival in your life, there must be a renewal in your life of praise and worship. Praise and worship. What is praise and worship? It's an emphasis on God's glory. It's an emphasis on God's glory. How many of you, when you get caught up in the glory of God, His presence, His power, His magnificence, how many of you, your first response is to fall on your face and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Praise is a response to His magnificence, isn't it? What Joshua was telling the people, he was saying there needs to be a renewal of praise and worship. Why? Because these people had spent a generation walking around the desert griping, complaining. You know why most churches don't see revival? Because most churches don't understand praise and worship. Most churches, you know what they do? They worship their praise and praise their worship. They don't praise and worship. Oh, we have pretty choir robes to make us look good. We have the greatest singers and instrumentalists that money can buy. No prerequisite to the fact that they don't even have to be Christian. You laugh. Do you know churches in our area hire musicians who aren't even a part of their fellowship so that their music will be perfect? You know what I pray, Lord? I pray that in our imperfections, people see You. They don't see us. I pray that praise and worship lead people to not think that we're good, because I assure you we're not, but that they lead people to get on their face and praise You and to tell You how magnificent and how wonderful you are. Joshua was saying, as he built this altar according to what Moses had commanded, it's time to get back to praise and worship, to put an emphasis on God and His glory and to give Him the adoration that He deserves. Can I ask you something, believer? When's the last time you just stopped to adore God? When's the last time you just stopped to tell Him how wonderful, how gracious, how amazing, how beautiful, how powerful, how great He truly is? Now listen, I don't say that to guilt you. I don't say that to condemn you. I'm saying this. The reason you might not be experiencing personal revival in your life because you don't take the time to adore the one who can bring that personal revival to you. Joshua was saying we've got to get back to this type of praise and worship, that adoration for who He is. And he says, let's get back to it with enthusiasm for what He's done. Isn't that praise? How many of you came here this morning enthused, expecting God to do something? You know what I believe about our church? Here's what I believe. I really believe this, that one of the key ingredients to the fact that we are seeing a revival in lives, I believe this, because people come expecting God to move. Listen, don't ever stop doing that. Don't ever stop praising Him for His move. Don't ever stop expecting Him to continue to move, because God's desire, let me tell you this, I can promise you, in His Word, His desire, His will is to move among His people. Most of the time what happens and why He can't in so many churches, we won't get out of His way. We're too busy thinking we're so great and that God somehow should do something for us. Listen, folks, please allow the Spirit to change your mindset. God has already done way more than enough for you. It's time you get on your face and you say, God, everything that You offered me, I offer back to You as praise and adoration for who You are and for what You're doing, for what You've done, and what You've yet to do. I love to see an enthusiastic Christian who just praises God just because God is who God says He is. And they're seeing God move in their life like never before, and they're excited when they come and talk to you. Kirk, let me tell you what God did for me this week. I love to hear that. I would much rather hear that than all your complaints. Wouldn't you? I would much rather hear that. I love to see people come up here and put a stone in this container, and I don't have to know what it's about. I know this, that they have recognized that God has done something and He's worthy of all of our praise. Joshua was teaching them about praise and worship toward God and how that'll bring a revival in their spirit. They needed it and wondered for a long, long time. And I bet if we were to be honest with ourselves today, some of us would say, you know what? When we were singing songs of praise and worship a minute ago, oh, there was part of me that just wanted to get involved, and there was that other part of me that just wanted to look at all my problems and all my complaints and all my gripes, and there was that part of me that was self, that was worried about what everybody else thought. You know what he's teaching them here? It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. What matters is God is worthy of our praise and our adoration. He's worthy of our worship. He was rekindling in these people the fact that, you know what? We're going to build an altar here. We're going to bow down. We're going to praise Him. We're going to celebrate what He's done for us. And we're not going to make any apologies for all these people who were walking into what they think is their land. This land is His because He's given it to us. So therefore, it's ours because of what He's done. We're going to praise Him for it. Listen, don't make any apologies when God's been good in your life. Praise the Lord. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that because that's not politically correct. I don't care where you are. Teachers who are afraid of losing your job, praise the Lord at your school. If you're a teacher, listen, praise Him till they duct tape your mouth and kick you out the door. If you work for the government, keep praising Him till they put you in handcuffs and then praise Him when they put you in jail. Because He's worthy of our praise. You know what? Paul and Silas kept praising Him even after the jail cell was closed. And what happened as they sang praise at midnight? Y'all know the story. As they began to praise and to adore Him, listen, they were in a cold prison cell and they were praising God for how good He is to them. We live in America where we have houses where we park our cars and we have more than most of the world could even imagine happening, and we can't find it in ourselves to praise and worship the God of all the universe. Something's wrong. Paul and Silas in a cold prison cell began to worship Him. What happened? Revival happened. Jail cells swung open. The captives were set free. God received glory and honor and adoration because He deserved it. So we see here at Ebal a renewal of praise and worship. That's key number one. Number two, a return to the basics. return to the basics. 32 says this. There in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on stones the law of Moses, which he had written. All Israel, aliens and citizens alike, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing those who carried it. And he goes on and he talks about how the priests and the Levites, half of the people stood on one side. We already read that, half on the other. But he returns to the basic. The first thing that he did, he took the tablet and he wrote down the Ten Commandments. Understand that. That was the basis. That was the foundation. Did you know every sin that you're ever going to commit falls in one of those categories? I promise you, if it doesn't fall into one of those categories, let me help you out. It's not sin. It's some religious person trying to make you feel guilty about something and keep you in bondage. But if it falls into those categories, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit is going to convict where you are in your life at that time, and He's going to show you that you are in sin. And so what He does, He's going to return to the basics. You know, we don't do this enough. We as human beings are great about complicating things. How many of you have come here to Key Life Fellowship out of some complicated denomination? Wrapped up in legalism where you had to do, and maybe if you do it enough and you do it right and you don't mess up, then you can have fellowship with God. Can I tell you this today? That's not how a child of God should live their life. A child of God should live their life as if they've been set free through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because they have. And they should allow the Holy Spirit to be the one who makes the decisions in their life. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the one who convicts them and changes them. He's saying, let's return to the basics. We always need to return to the basics. Those of you who are born-again Christians here today, don't ever get tired of going back to the cross. How many of you know that's where our covenant was sealed with the blood of the Lamb? Don't ever, ever get tired of going back to the cross. I hear it all the time. The critics who they like to say things mean about me. Here's what they say. Well, I just wish he'd preach something more than Jesus. I don't know about you, but we've been several months here in the book of Joshua. We preached a lot more about Jesus, but doesn't it always seem to come back to him? Doesn't it always seem to come back to the basic thing? The main thing. You know what Joshua was telling the people? He was telling this. If you want to see revival in your life, make sure the main thing is the main thing. It's not about you. It's not about your selfish desires. It's not about your wants. It's not about your goals, your dreams, etc. It is about God and His glory. That is the main thing. And how do we bring Him glory? That's what we need to be concentrating on in our lives. That's when revival happens, when you say, God, I don't want me anymore. I want you, and I want your will for my life. I promise you, I double dog dare you, even triple dog dare you today, to get on your face and say, God, take me back to the basics. I promise you, the first place He's going to take you is Calvary. He's going to remind you what He did for you. He's going to remind you how His Son bled and died and was beaten and had His beard ripped from His face. And you say, Kirk, do we have to relive the violence again? Yes, every single day of your life, if you want to walk in revival, you will relive that. Today, I am because Jesus Christ was what He was on the cross. Y'all, excuse me if I get a little fired up. We got to get back to the basics to see revival. You've let the enemy distract you with everything under the sun. All of your failures, all of your flaws, all of the busyness, the stress of life, and you forget about Jesus Christ every single day and what He's done for you. Can I challenge you to do something? You want to live and walk in revival? Wake up every day and the first thing you need to do is thank Jesus Christ for His obedience in dying for you and giving you new life. Because every day that you wake up as a born-again believer, it is a new day in the kingdom of God because of Calvary. Return to the basics. The main thing being the main thing. Those of us today who are New Testament Christians, man, we have a lesson that we can learn from those who were under the old covenant here. When the main thing is the main thing, we'll be more apt to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said this sums up the law and the prophets. What are you talking about? It sums up the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to have any other gods before Him. You're not going to worship any idols. You're not going to take His name in vain, right? And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill your neighbor. You're not going to steal from your neighbor. You're not going to commit adultery against your neighbor. You're not going to covet what your neighbor has, and on and on and on, right? So we still live under those same commands, don't we? But we live under them through the grace covenant of Jesus Christ. So get back to the basics. What are the basics? What should we concentrate on if we're going to see revival in our hearts as New Testament believers? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. You say, well, could you go a little deeper into that? Yeah. Love God with everything you have. With every ounce of energy that you have. And love your neighbor just like you love you. What do you mean? Did you brush your teeth this morning? Did you take a bath this morning? Did you feed yourself last night? Or did you feed yourself breakfast this morning? Did you take care of you? Just yesterday, no, the day before, I was at Home Depot. I was walking into Home Depot. Walking out of Home Depot, and I was in a hurry. I had a lot to do. I had things I had to accomplish. I had a certain amount of time to accomplish this in, right? This is how we live life, right? I don't say this to glorify me because what I wanted to do, I wanted to get my stuff done. I walked past a couple. It was an Asian couple. They were coming out. They had more boards on the carts than you probably ought to put on one cart. They had two carts. He was pushing one. He already forgot about her. She's back there trying to get her cart to go. She's trying to steer. I'm going to walk in the door to Home Depot, get the few things I need. Brandy was actually waiting in the car for me. I'm going in the door. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? There's your neighbor. Wouldn't you enjoy if somebody helped you load all your lumber when you came out of Home Depot? Yes, sir. Ma'am, do you mind if I push that basket for you? Please. Please help me. No problem. So I'm going to do what most Christians do. I'm going to push their basket to their car. Have a good day! Push the basket to the car. And they were elderly. God said, you're going to load that for your neighbor, right? Yes, sir. He said, girl, why are you telling us these sappy stories? Why are you tearing up? Because I got to experience revival that day. I knew right then the Spirit of God said, this is who I want you to be. I don't want you to be some guy bellowing from the pulpit or some guy in the religious circles trying to be someone. I want you to be a servant to people you don't even know. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. You know what I did? I picked up every single board. I told them, no, don't touch a board. They were putting on gloves. I said, don't put those gloves on. I loaded everything into their cart. Listen, I don't say this. Listen, I wanted to be disobedient. I promise it would have been easier. I would have been on time. Put every single board in the back of their truck. They were building some kind of fence. What they don't know is that I was already real, real, real tired. I had 2.5 hours of sleep when this occurred. I wanted to thank them for letting me have the opportunity to serve them. Isn't it funny how that works when we as children of God get it right? They got through and the man disappeared. I was like, where'd he go? He went back inside. He went back inside to go get change for money. He wanted to pay me something. And he tried to pay me something. I said, no, sir. I said, I want you guys to be blessed. God bless you. I'm glad I got to help you. That was it. I turned around and walked off, and you know what? Revival happened in my heart, and it was crazy because it was on the hills. Listen, I help people all the time. Don't get me wrong. I hope that you know that's my heart. I do want to help people, and I want to serve people. What I don't want to do, I don't want to babysit other people who ought to be serving people. That's where most pastors find themselves spending their time. Say, God, thank you so much for the opportunity to love my neighbor as myself. To just give of myself for no reason other than to say, some way, somehow, God, you can receive glory for this. They stood there like this. I'm not telling you. I'm not kidding. The lady said, people don't help people. I was like, I don't know what to tell you, ma'am. That's sad because I'm pretty sure that there's other Christians who just walk past you. You know, I didn't tell her that, but I'm thinking that in my heart. So what does it mean to love your neighbor? It means this. Sometimes you might be late. Sometimes you might get splinters in your hand. You might be working on a few hours of sleep. But you know what? God gave me strength to do what He placed in my path to do. You know what I believe? I believe in this is crazy. You're going to think I'm a nut. I believe that I got in on one of the works that were preordained by God for me to do as a child of God. Did you know Ephesians tells us there are works that He prepared in advance for us to do? It was no accident that little couple was walking out by themselves with no help when I walk past. And you know, the greatest part of it all, she squeezed my arm and said, "You got big muscle." I can say this. She lied, but it still felt good. I told Brandy, I said, "Man, that's my favorite lady in the world." She said, "I have big muscle." Return to the basics, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. It kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, even when you don't want to help your neighbor, you will, because you know that's God's desire for your life, right? So you want to see a revival in your life today, get back to the basics. The basics are this: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth because of the love of the Father. And while you were in your sin, and while you were wrapped up in yourself, while you were messed up, He chose to die for you on a cross, and to die your death, to shed His blood, to cleanse you of your sin. You didn't deserve it. You never could earn it. But yet He loved you so much, and He loved the Father so much that He was obedient to do that. And He did that, why? So that you would have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you to teach you how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it sad that we complicate it and we forget to go back there on a regular basis in our life? A renewal of praise and worship, a return to the basics, and then I'll finish with this. A refocus on the importance of God's Word. Look at 34 and 35. This is where I believe churches are struggling today. 34 and 35, they say this. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the aliens who lived among them. What is he saying? A refocus on the importance of God's Word is essential if you're going to experience revival today. How many of you believe this as authority? No, I'm not saying how many people know how to say amen in church. That's not what I ask. I ask, how many of you people still believe this is the authority that governs our lives, period? Because we know as a nation we have seen that deteriorate to the point that it's at right now. We know that. There's no sense in whining and complaining about it. I'm asking you as an individual, does the Word of God still have substance in your life? How many of you now, don't get religious on me and say, amen, hallelujah. How many of you say, I really believe that, before you answer? If you really believe it, you'll do what it says do. How many of you believe that the Word of God is the thing that governs your life? The good and the bad. I love that part. He says, not just the parts they like, the blessings. You know, we have a problem in Christianity today. We have a whole movement that's moved and led on blessing. That's all these charismatic people do. And if you're charismatic, I'm sorry. I pray that the Word of God would set you free from all that junk. There's nothing wrong with the word charismatic. If you look at it in its right application, that means you're gifted. You're operating in your spiritual gifts. Not that you're some kook waving a flag and running around and making a spectacle out of yourself in the middle of a worship service that God said is to be done decent and in order. So look at this. Let's talk about this for a second. There's lots of people who like the blessings of God. Who doesn't? But he also says there's some things in there that are a little bit hard to swallow, the curses. And he read those things. What was that about? He was saying this: if you're obedient, you'll walk in blessing. If you're disobedient, you'll walk in a curse. How many of you understand that applies in your life today? You pick up disobedience, you pick up the curse of death. How do I know this? For the wages of sin is death. You pick it up and see if you don't pick up a curse with it. You walk in obedience, led by the Spirit, I promise you this, you'll be blessed for it. God blesses those of us who walk in obedience, doesn't He? And He curses those who walk in disobedience. You say, what do you mean? I thought I was free from the curse. You are free from the curse as far as eternity is concerned because of what Jesus has done. But let me tell you what, you live in a practical world that has not been redeemed yet by Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand that? Please understand the difference, because a lot of people won't make this distinction in Scripture and they walk into error. We still live in a fallen world that's under a curse. You pick up the world, what do you pick up? Say the C word with me, a curse. How many of you know this world's under curse? That's why we're taught, walk away from it. Come out from underneath it. Separate ourselves from it. God still understands there's a curse involved in this world because it's fallen. So don't deceive yourself. We need to refocus on the importance of God's Word, the good parts and the bad parts, the blessings and the curses, the things that are easy to apply, the things that are easy to swallow, and those things that, man, it feels like we're choking them down sideways and they're rubbing the side of our throat all the way down because they're so hard to swallow. I'll tell you something. Don't take the Word of God like so many people are doing and picking what you like and applying that and taking what you don't like and not applying that because you are in error. How many of you would say a half-truth is a whole lie? So here's what you do. You rip out truth from the Word of God. And in ripping out truth from the Word of God, you make all Christians look as if we're liars. Hello? Isn't that what the world thinks about us anyways? Bunch of hypocrites. Why? Because we need a revival in regard to God's Word. When God's Word says it, we need to say, okay, end of discussion. Now I have to be obedient to that. People come to me all the time. They say stupid things like this. Well, I found this in God's Word, but would you pray for me about it? No, I will not. You found it in God's Word. You know why? Because the Spirit took you there and the Spirit showed you. Why are you bothering me with this? You don't have to pray about it. When God says do it in His Word, get it done. Praying's a stall tactic, right? That Christians have learned to master. They're like, I got this neighbor who, you know, they're handicapped, they need a wheelchair ramp, and I'm praying about if the Lord would have me help them build one. No, you're not. You're buying time, hoping somebody else will do it. And that's fine. Let that somebody else steal the blessing that God wants to give you. That's up to you. But you're going to walk under the curse of a dirty conscience because you were led to do it and chose not to. Therefore, James says, for he who knows to do right and chooses to do wrong, to him it is what? Sin. I'm meddling in your lives now. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not really. That was the most unsincere apology you've ever heard in your life. I'm thankful that men of God took time to bother with my life and interrupt my life so that I could see the Word of God. Please don't hate me for that. A refocus on the importance of God's Word. Not just the parts we like, but the full counsel of the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, everything that is applicable to your life needs to be applied. I promise you, when this happens and you walk in obedience to that, you will walk in revival. Guaranteed. So we see a renewal of praise and worship, a return to the basics, and a refocus on the importance of God's Word. So maybe today you're in need of revival. You say, Pastor, I've been dry for a long time. If you're a believer here and you've been dry for a long time, I'm going to say this. Don't hate me for it. It's your fault. I don't play games with this. You know, we live in a society where everybody's a victim. You're not a victim anymore because God's Word says, right, we said we believe this, God's Word says you're more than a conqueror. In Christ, you are a victor, not a victim. So if you're walking around in the desert as a believer, it is your own doing. Was it God's fault that the Israelites walked around in the desert for a whole generation? Absolutely, positively not. They made a choice to disobey, and they made a choice to suffer the consequences. I don't know where you are. I know this, that the Holy Spirit knows exactly where you are. And if you're in need of revival here today, number one, a renewal of praise and worship, I would encourage you, start with this. Why? Because this is how Joshua taught the people to start. You don't have to build an altar anymore, did you know? You don't have to go to the Ark of the Covenant as they did and offer up offerings. Here's the thing. The offering that it takes for you to approach the throne of God and to praise Him and to worship Him has already been paid by Jesus for you. What you have to do today, you have to go to God with an honest heart and say, God, forgive me, for I have strayed away, and forgive me, for I have allowed myself to get in the condition of walking around in the desert. But I want to praise you for how awesome you are, your grace and your mercy, how huge it is. And Lord, I ask that you would forgive me and shine your grace and mercy upon me this very day. God, I want to praise you and adore you for no other reason than you are a magnificent God. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, and it's only by the blood of the Lamb that I am, and I give you all the glory and all the praise for that. I promise you, start with that today, you're going to start experiencing revival in your life. Secondly, return to the basics. God, I have forgotten what it's all about. I've made this thing about church. I've made this thing about ministry. I've made this thing about this, that, and the other. God, forgive me because I've lost sight of what it's really all about. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him buried and Him resurrected and Him ascending to heaven and His return one day when He'll rescue all of those who come to the knowledge of His saving power through His Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. Lord, rekindle that fire in me. Some of you, if you were honest, you would say, yeah, I need a fire in me like I once had. Return to the basics. I promise you, get on your face and focus on the cross of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And He will recharge you. He will re-strengthen you. Then we see a refocus on the importance of God's Word, renewal of praise and worship, a return to the basics, and a refocus on the importance of God's Word. We said, it's important! Is it important enough to go to when life's questions pop up and you're afraid of the answer? Is it important enough to go to on a daily basis because you know you're going to need His Word in this fight that we're in? Is it important enough? A refocus on the importance of God's Word. You know what He did? He sat there and read every single thing in God's Word that they had available to them at the time. He read it and read it and read it. Why? Because He knew that the truth would set these people free. He knew that the truth had to be the thing that they based everything on. So He took time to do it. Is it important to you? Because I promise you, if you learn to walk in obedience to God's Word, if you learn to value God's Word, if you learn to study God's Word as a workman who's rightly dividing truth, you will see a revival in your heart. So maybe you're in need of revival today. Or maybe you're here today and you need God to save you. You've never experienced what it is to have a personal relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. I promise you this, today, when you hear His voice and He says, turn from your sin, turn from yourself, and turn to Jesus, the only one who died for you, the only one who can save you. I promise, if He gives you that faith to believe in that, and to turn from your sin today, He desires to save you. And the Bible says this, that if you confess Him with your mouth and believe Him in your heart, you will be saved this very day. Stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. I'm going to ask for honesty. Because I believe you'll never see revival till you get honest with God about the fact that you're in the wilderness. You're here today. You'd be honest enough to say, Kurt, I need revival in my heart today. I need revival in my heart today. I need a renewal of praise and worship. Let me tell you this. Don't miss out on the opportunity in just a moment to praise Him and to worship Him. Kirk, I need a return to the basics. I've lost sight of what Jesus has done for me, and I need that to be pulled to the forefront of my mind today. God has the power to do that. Kirk, I want to refocus on God's Word. I want to learn it like I've never learned it. I want to live it like I've never lived it. I promise you this, if you seek revival today, God will be faithful to bringing revival in your life. You say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Will you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Hold it up high. You say, that's me. I need revival in my heart. I need to get back to what God says I need to get back to. Lord Jesus, as these raise their hands, and I pray in a moment as they will humble themselves and humble their heart on your altar in praise and worship and adoration toward you, God, I pray that you give them strength. Walk away from whatever distraction that's causing them to miss out on the revival that you want to bring in their life. God, we pray for great things as they submit to you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. As the music begins to play, you were a Christian. You said, I need revival. Listen, the altar's already open. But you're here today. You say, Kirk, I don't know that I've ever surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I feel in my heart right now that God is calling me to do that, to leave my old life of sin and to accept the payment that Jesus made on the cross for me. I want to declare that Jesus is my Lord today and ask Him to save me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me today. Would you slip up your hand right now so that I can pray with you, pray for you. Slip it up high where I can see you. Thank you. Hold it up for me. Thank you, ma'am. Someone else who says, I need Jesus to save me today. Would you slip it up for me? I need Jesus to rescue me from my sin, from myself. Ma'am, if you would, just look at me. You and you alone. You believe God's telling your heart today to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? You willing to turn from your sin and yourself and turn to Him alone? Listen, the Bible says this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? That He was risen from the grave 3 days later so He could give you new life. You believe that? You want to accept that new life right now? Pray this prayer with me. This prayer will not save you. This prayer is just saying, God, I recognize what You're doing and I accept the gift that You're giving me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that You love me even in spite of my sin. Jesus, I ask You would forgive me all my sin. I know You died on a cross to give me new life and forgiveness. I know that You rose again to prove that You have the power to give those things. I accept that new life and I accept that forgiveness. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you said, I pray that prayer because I know God is telling me to surrender my life to Him, would you look at me one more time? Just you. You believe Jesus saved you? Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something brave. I'm going to ask you to walk out of the aisle. There's going to be a lady who's going to come talk to you, take the Bible and show you what happened. You can do that right now. But as the Spirit of God moves in our midst this morning, I pray that you would be obedient. Maybe you're here. You say, Pastor, I raised my hand or I wanted to raise my hand. Listen, you don't get saved because you raised your hand. You get saved because God, the sovereign God of this universe, calls you out of darkness and into light. I pray today that if God's calling you out of darkness and into light, that you would find one of these people who are standing to my right and to my left and just proclaim to them, I need Jesus to save me today. And I promise you this, He will be faithful to save you. Christian, you're here. You need revival. Let me tell you what, revival doesn't start at the pew. Revival starts at the altar. Revival starts with us on our face saying, God, forgive us for what we've allowed ourselves to become. Forgive us for the distractions that come in our life that we allow to take away from You and from Your kingdom and Your glory. God, bring revival to Your people this very day. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.